Hi everyone, thanks for this episode of Nick Egan Times. On this episode we have a sensational guest. We have DY McDaniel. DY is a composer, producer. DY has just released his latest single, Choose Life, which the song addresses the issue of suicide awareness and prevention, with portions of the proceeds from the streams and download sales benefiting the Recovery Advocate Network. Welcome DY, and thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. How are you doing tonight, Nick?
I'm doing great, my friend. I am doing great. How's it all been
Good.
going over there?
Things are going well. Things are going well. We had a great holiday season, had some downtime for a change, and got to spend some time with my family and got to see my daughters and spend time with them and just basically have them remind me that I am dad, which is kind of funny sometimes. So it was a good holiday. How about yourself?
Yeah, it was really good. Thanks. Spent time with the family, had a couple of weeks off. So, yeah, it was nice and relaxing.
Right. Excellent. Excellent. So,
All right.
2020.
So say it again.
No, I was asking. So, 2023 is off to a good start for you
100%. It's going to be a cracking year. So, I'm really looking forward to it.
Excellent.
All
Excellent.
right. Let's jump straight into it. Tell me
Okay.
about your journey and growing up and your family. Yeah, talk to me about that.
Okay. You know what? I've had a rich upbringing, let's say, in that I was a military brat. So, I got a chance to travel around the world a bit, see some different things, and live on different military bases, so different duty stations. So it was really great. And when I wasn't off with my mom, who was the person in the military, I would be in New York City with my family, with my grandparents and stuff. So it was great. I got to see the world from the perspective of a military brat, and I got to see it from the, growing up in New York City perspective, which is always a bit interesting. So that was good. It was good. I was blessed.
Brilliant. And what bases did you go to?
Well, let's see. In the US, we were in Maryland. We were in Fort Jackson in South Carolina. We were in Texas for a little while. And outside of the US, we spent most of our time in Germany. And so we were in Frankfurt. We were in Schaffenberg and a tiny, tiny little town called Babenhausen. So a lot of time in Germany.
Nice.
So
And
it was great.
yeah, it sounds wonderful. What was your favorite place or your favorite base that you stayed at?
In terms of living, it was Babenhausen because I just had such great friends there. In terms of food, and none of my friends really believe me when I say this because it's such a strange thing to say. But I had the best pizza of my life in Frankfurt. I don't know why. It was just like I remember this pizza parlor in Frankfurt that just had the best pizza. And so that's oddly enough, that's my most lasting memory of Frankfurt, but it's a really, really good one. So I'm a big fan of pizza, as you can probably tell.
Nah, you're all right, mate. You're all right. Tell me about the incredible new single "Choose Life," which addresses suicide prevention. Talk to me about that, and obviously the background, and yeah, how it all happened.
Wow. Okay. So as a writer, a lyricist, and producer, I have a very atypical background in that I'm educationally, I am a lawyer with an MBA. And I actually started out working on Wall Street in financial services. And so from a professional background, I was a deal maker. I was an investment banker. So we help fund companies, and that was the professional track that I was on. I was fortunate to know a bunch of musicians, and like most guys I've met in the music industry, I got into music because of a girl. and you know started writing songs to try and get an ex-girlfriend back. And so that's how the music started. It's been a great journey so far because I've had the opportunity to write for various artists and stuff like that. And in terms of Choose Life, that's a very special song to me because I was unfortunately introduced to the concept of suicides when a close friend and mentor of mine, he took his own life unexpectedly. And so that, you know, just grappling with that and trying to understand that, I started to really look at the topic and trying to understand it. As I did that, there was a few things that were really, really startling to me. So for one, suicide was the leading cause of death for children 18 or younger, and had been for many years. And that was startling to me. One, just as a human being, and two, as I mentioned before, as a dad, that actually scared me, quite frankly. And so I started paying more attention to it and trying to understand it and looking for the triggers and so on and so forth. And with the one of the things that was much most startling to me was online bullying and how children were harassing other children and you know the bullying and how significant it really is. So that was huge. That was huge. And so the second verse of those of Choose Life is all about online bullying. So but going back, I'm sorry, and I'm skipping around just a little bit here. The what actually triggered me writing the song was there was a former Miss USA who lived in New York City as well. And she committed suicide. And that was the trigger for me. The night that she killed herself was the night I actually wrote the song Choose Life. And yeah, it was when you think about it, and I didn't know her personally, and so I want to be delicate about this, but from the outside looking in, it seemed like she had everything going for her. I mean, she was young, she was beautiful, she financially she was solid. She just coincidentally, like myself, was a lawyer with an MBA. She worked for a top law firm in New York. She was doing on-air commentary for one of the entertainment shows. So it would have seemed like she had the perfect life. And then, you know, she took her own life. And so it was something about that that just made me go, wow, you know, even for the people who look like they have it all, a lot of people are in some really, really deep pain. And so I guess my heart went out to her. My instincts as a dad that really kicked in because I have two young daughters of 10 and 14. And so I wanted to do something about it. And you know, as a writer and a producer, the thing I could do about it was to write a song. And I wanted to do a song. It's intentionally upbeat and it's inspirational. It's definitely not like one of those sad, you know, funeral dirge type songs. It's really a very up-tempo song because I wanted people to feel good. I wanted people to be encouraged. I wanted to say things like, you know, reach out for help if you're in pain, or don't use a permanent solution, which is suicide, for temporary problems. So, and that's also in the song because suicide is a very, very permanent solution. And as you know, most people who are adults, we learn that problems and everyone has them. We all, again, coming from the song, we all have good and bad days without question. Well, the older you get, the longer or the better you understand that problems, even though they may feel like they're going on forever, they're temporary. And you just have to, you know, again, from the song, you know, don't cave into the pain. Hold on. Things will get better again. And so I wanted to put things like that in the song. I wanted it to be upbeat and encouraging, hopefully. And so that seems to, thus far at least, that's been the feedback that we've gotten.
Yeah, That's really, really great insights, and I definitely believe, like suicide's a real big problem in society, just generally speaking. Yeah, it's wonderful what you've done with this song, and it's yeah, it's really good for society what you're doing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. When I looked at the statistics here in the U.S., and unfortunately, I'm pretty comfortable saying that they're probably somewhat representative of the world. But here in the U.S., once every or a person takes their own life every 12 minutes, and that's what's even more incredible is for every person that is successful at taking their own life, there are five others that attempt to take their own lives. So when you average that out, that's one person roughly every 2 minutes that tries to end their own life. And that's horrible. It really is. And people suffer. And at the end of the day, another goal here is I'm hoping to normalize the conversations around suicide. I don't want, I mean, to the extent that I can, in my own limited fashion, I'd really love for people to be able to talk about it, to be able to admit, okay, they're struggling. One of the things, and you mentioned the Advocate Recovery Network, one of the things that and they're a great organization and they help people get through these sort of issues. One of the things that I found working with them and talking to them is that one of the main things that you find when you talk to people who have attempted suicide is they feel so alone. They think it's only them. And so hopefully normalizing this conversation some, people will feel more comfortable going out, talking to people, whether they be professionals or friends and family. It's just so incredibly important that people understand that they're not by themselves, that other people have struggled as well and have made it through. And so that's hopefully that'll help people a little bit. So
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, times the bad times will pass, it'll go. Like, so you just gotta ride it out, you know what I mean? Just yeah, life's not easy and everyone has their own problems and are going through their own difficulties. It's just about pushing through.
absolutely. I mean, people are resilient. And, as I said, I have a particular sensitivity to children. There's no question about that, being a father. The thought of a child thinking or contemplating how they can end their lives before they have a chance to really live their lives is sad on a very, very deep level. I mean, when you're a kid, I'm sure it's the same all over the world. When you're a kid, you're supposed to be out playing and having your hopefully your first love and your first kiss and your getting yelled at by your parents because you did something stupid. Going to birthday parties and playing sports and going to movies and stuff like that. Whatever it is, whatever is age appropriate for you, it really shouldn't be. How can you end your life? You haven't had a chance to live your life yet, and that's the thing. So hopefully, the song "Choose Life," being and almost every word of the song was intentional and very purposeful. As a songwriter, I've written a lot of songs and I've been blessed to be able to do that. And I'm kind of known for writing songs quickly. But this is one of the fastest songs I've ever written. The entire song came together in like 45 minutes. And I, no offense to anyone out there, but I really believe that this was a blessing from God, that this song just came together the way that it did. I honestly believe that. I mean, I know it sounds a little corny and a little cheesy, and we won't try and turn this into recruitment commercial. But you know, it just really, really came together. And I think, and I'm hoping, and you know, I'm honestly, I'm literally praying that people do get something out of this song. It's intentionally, as I said, it's intentionally upbeat, and you'll bop your head to it and so on and so forth, and that's great. But it's a deeper meaning there as well. So if you're the superficial listener, you'll bop your head and maybe, you know, a good point will sneak in. If you're the type that really listens closely to the lyrics, hopefully it'll be very encouraging to you. So, because at the end of the day, you know, one great thing about music is it does set a mood. It can be inspirational. And that's what I'm hoping for here. So I know that was a long answer. Sorry.
No, it's extraordinary. It's you know, you're doing amazing, and yeah, it's a great answer. No, it's incredible what you've done.
Oh well, thank you. I appreciate that.
No, sincerely, man. Tell me, what's the best advice you've ever received?
Well, I'm sorry. Could you say that for me?
What's the best advice you have ever received?
Wow. Oh. best advice in life. Wow, that's a tough one. I've gotten some good ones. Even though it sounds a little cliche, do what you love. And, you know, it's, if you do what you love, you do it well. That's one. Probably from my mother and my grandmother, it was, you know, love yourself and learn to love yourself first. If you genuinely love yourself, everything else gets better. You'll be able to love other people better. You'll be able to be loved better, and you'll have the inner confidence to help you move through life. So that I've always thought that was great advice. You know what? That is such a great question. I'm actually struggling with that question a little bit. That's of all the interviews I've done over the years, that's the first time I've gotten that question. That's such a great question. You know what? Be true to yourself. Really, just be true to yourself and just try and do the best that you can. And things will happen the way that they happen. So, but if you do that, at least from the advice that I've been given, those have been incredible words, because those words have helped me through a lot of difficult challenges. Just to love yourself. If you like the person that you see in the mirror, a lot of things will become easier, and you're not quite as susceptible to other people's opinions and stuff like that. So it's that is such a great question. I love that question.
Thank you. And that's great. Great. That's great advice and insights. It's really good.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. Honestly, just going off of that question, a lot of it has to do with my journey. I mean, for me, as I said, educationally, I'm a lawyer with an MBA. I was on Wall Street. The formal music training that a lot of people have had, I mean, I had some in school, but it wasn't anything that was supposed to gear me to being a music industry professional. That really came from passion. The passion to want to get back an ex-girlfriend who I was very, very deeply in love with. And just really finding something that made me feel good. I mean, it's amazing. When I walked into the studio for the very first time, it was like, wow, I now know where I was meant to be. And that's, you know, I would not have had the confidence to do that if it wasn't for the words of wisdom that I gotten from my parents and from older people. Someone once told me I was a very courageous person because I tried new and different things. I don't think I'm courageous. I really don't. I think I'm comfortable in who I am. And I think that being comfortable allows me to try different things. I'm not afraid to fail. And you know, I've failed. I've had some incredible successes through the grace of God, but I've had a few a few pretty sizable failures too. So it's, you know, but it's life. It's life. And I think we should all try to live it. And of course, those like most words, they're easier said than done. But if we give a shot to things and try things and be okay to fail at things, I think life becomes just that much richer. So yeah, I'm hopefully that answered the question.
No, it did. It was an exceptional answer. So no. What inspires you daily?
Well, you know what? Just the things I see in the world, in terms of inspires in terms of music, or just inspires me to get up.
Generally speaking, in
Oh,
life.
generally, you know what? People and love. I am such a huge romantic. I probably should not say that on a recorded line, because that's really gonna cramp my manly man image, sort of thing. But I am such a huge fan of love, and watching people love and watching the ups and downs of love. I'm really inspired by that. One of my attorneys, and in fact my main musical attorney, my entertainment attorney, one day we were sitting down and we were going over some papers and we were going through the catalogs and stuff like that. And he goes, "You know, over 80 something percent of your songs are somehow, some way inspired by relationships and love and romance." I had never realized that until he said it, but it's 100% true. I looked into it. It's love. I'm in love with the concept of love. So, you know, and now I'm gonna have to go out and do something incredibly manly now. Like I'm gonna have to go and like scale Everest or something like that without a rope or something. I don't know. But yeah, that's what it is. If I had to say one single thing, it is. So, but I when you watch human beings, you know, the things that we do to get love, the things that we do when we're in love, the things that we do when we fall out of love. So much of our conversations are somehow or another about love. Like, I don't think I've ever met a person that didn't want to have love in their life. I don't think I've ever met one. And I think it's one of the universal commonalities of people around the world. So, you know, whatever your politics, whatever your national allegiances, your religious affiliations, your socioeconomic class, everyone, I think everyone wants to be loved, and I think everyone wants to love. So, and that really inspires me.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And yeah, definitely. We're social creatures, so you know, we feed off love. Love's part of life, right? So
Yeah, I think so. So, hopefully, yeah, hopefully that wasn't too shocking an answer.
no, that's a good
So,
answer. That
okay. All right. Thank you.
answer. No.
The
If you were 18 again and you could change anything, personally or professionally, what would you change?
I've really been blessed. So there are a lot of things that I would really keep the same. That's a tough one too. You know what? This is gonna sound corny and cheesy, but my mom died unexpectedly many, many years ago. And at the time, I was very busy running around the world and, you know, traveling and doing this and doing that and so on and so forth. And I didn't spend as much time with my mom as I would have liked, because she died very young and she died very unexpectedly. So, you know, it was one of those sort of things where you're sort of taken for granted that you got, you know, 20 years or 30 years more to hang out with people. So if I could, I would definitely go back and spend more time with my mom. That would be first and foremost. Second, from a career perspective, I would have gravitated more towards my true passion, which is music. I would have done that earlier, because that's just one of those things that, as I said, I don't know if I don't know even the exact words for this, but the first time I walked into a music studio, it just felt so incredibly right. Like, wow, I'm home. Like, you know, all of a sudden the sky became a brighter colored blue, and flowers smelled just a little sweeter, and you know, sound was just that much more beautiful. So I think I would have gone here earlier, and you know, so yeah. And so those are the personal things. I mean, if I had the power to change it, really, and this is going to sound so corny and so cheesy. I said this to my daughter one time, and she just looked at me like, "Oh, Dad, please stop." But I was 100% serious. You know what? I would really, if I could change it, which obviously I can't, but if I could, I would really love for people to get to know one another a little bit better. I heard a wise person say this one time, and he wasn't talking to me. He just happened to be talking, and I heard him. And it just struck me. It was one of those sort of things that kind of stopped me in my tracks. And he said, "It's very difficult to hate someone up close. And you know, they're it's and it really is, because when you think about it, I've heard, and you know, in the US, we have a pretty long tradition of you know, racism and so on and so forth. But I've heard some people who were really hardcore, very proud racist, make exceptions for the people or for communities that they hated because they knew certain individuals. So it was like, I hate that group over there, except Jim and John. Jim and John, they're good guys. You know, known them for years. They're great. Hate everything else. And it's like, wow. And it's very funny when we think about it, because the only two people that that person would know up close from that group, they think are great, but they hate the whole group. So if I could, I would really change that. Just come up with a way so that people got a chance to know one another, because it really is difficult to hate up close, at least to hate a group. Now, obviously, they're definitely, you know, we can meet individuals that we dislike, and that's obvious. You know, and this I think comes from being a military brat and traveling around the world and meeting so many people from of different races and nationalities and different religious affiliations and stuff. You know, when you start putting all of those people together, you don't people get along. Because truthfully, at least it's been my experience, and I'm fairly certain for everyone else too, we as human beings have way more in common than the things that separate us. I mean, I've never met a parent that didn't want to see their child happy. I've never met a person that didn't want to be loved. I've never met a person who didn't want to be happy or to live a good life. You know, when if we could somehow or another start focusing on the things that we have in common and stop focusing so much on the few things that separate us, I think the world would be such so much more a better place. And I am so hoping that this one particular interview, that my daughter does not see this interview, because if she sees this interview, I will never live this one down. She's like, oh God, Dad, oh no. Listen, at the end of the day, and I have to be honest with you, Australia is on my list of places that I really want to go. In fact, just coincidentally, about a month ago, my daughter and I were talking about taking a trip down there. And so it's on our schedule within the next few years, hopefully. So, but, I got to believe that folks in Australia are going to feel kind of sort of the same way about the major things that everyone else does. Because, it is one of the few places I haven't yet been. And I've never yet met a person that didn't want to be happy. I've never yet met a person that didn't want to be loved. I've never yet met a person that didn't want to feel safe. I've never yet met a person who didn't want to love their children or love their parents. There's so much that binds us. And somehow, some way, we seem to find ways to focus on the things that separate us. And in a way that just seems kind of foolish. So it's at the end of the day, I'd love to be able to change that if I could. And that is honestly part of why I love music, because music in a way is a universal language. And it has an ability to have people come together. So you may not like another person's politics, and that's fine. But you can both like the same music. You can find beauty in it, or you can find something that interests you in it. Or quite frankly, you can come together and hate the same type of music, which is also fine. If that becomes the thing that you have in common, that you can build off of, I think that's great. I really do. I met a guy once, and I was in Japan. I met this guy, and he was struggling to speak to me in English, and my Japanese is, oh my God, it was horrible. The one thing that we could communicate was, and it just so happened that this song came on, or the song came on, and we both hated the song. We hated it. It was amazing. It was, I'll be honest with you, I am a rap music fan as well. But there's a certain type of rap music, and I don't want to offend anyone in the industry, but there's a certain type of rap music that I detest. And this a song came on it that came from that genre of music, and we both just looked at it like, oh, just hate it. And we built off of that. We actually did. And so that's what music is.
That's incredible. I love everything you said on this in this interview. It's been sensational. Thank you for coming on the podcast. I do appreciate it, and I wish you nothing but the best in the future.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it, and thank you so much for having me on. I really do appreciate it, and thank you so much for talking to me about the Choose Life song. So hopefully, people will hear this and it'll help them out. So I do appreciate it, and I would like to make sure that my PR team gets a copy of this interview, so that we can put it out on our social media, so that people can, hopefully start following your show as well. So I promise you, I'll make it a point.